T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Getting ready for the Super Bowl on Sunday. Our live coverage begins at 3 with the pregame show, and then we will have Super Bowl 52 for you live in its entirety. Eagles and the Patriots on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. So if you're in your car and driving about and not in front of the old TV, tune in 92.9 The Game on Sunday for Super Bowl 52, where the Patriots remain, despite all the money that's come in on the Eagles, a favorite to win the game, even though the money is poured in, including a couple of that we know of, million-dollar bets on the Philadelphia Eagles to win the game. A lot going on in terms of the Super Bowl, and we'll get into that throughout the hour. And around 7:20, we'll tell you what's going on with the Eagles fans and the latest with them. But there's other news, too, in football. We mentioned that we wake up to the big news this morning, Hugh, of the Alex Smith trade to the Washington Redskins and the fallout of that. One angle that we didn't get into, and by the way, if you're just joining us, let's bring you up to speed on that. There's another angle on this that we didn't quite get into the first time around because there's so many different moving parts here. Alex Smith to the Redskins in exchange for a good young quarterback named Kendall Fuller and a third-round pick, and that makes Kirk Cousins a free agent, and we talked about some of the teams that might be interested in Kirk Cousins. But also Alex Smith's contract, which is $71 million guaranteed, 4 years and $235.5 million. What that means for the Atlanta Falcons and for Matt Ryan, because we know that Thomas Dimitroff says that before anything else, before you sign your free agents, before you go into free agency, before the draft, you have to get an extension done for Matt Ryan, and suddenly the price of poker just went skyrocketing again.
Yeah, and Matt is going to get paid. You know, just saw somebody on my Twitter feed just said, you know, if you're going to pay Matt Ryan a ridiculous amount of money, I'm going to be livid. Well, be prepared to be livid because he's about to get paid. I mean, you know, you look at what he's done, you look at what he's accomplished, and you look at what Kirk Cousins is going to get. You look at what Alex Smith is getting. What is it, $91
million? $71 million guaranteed.
Yeah. Matt Ryan is going to get that and then some. And it's probably going to be, like, if he got $71 guaranteed, Matt Ryan might get $100 million guaranteed. Who knows? I mean, because he's way more accomplished than Alex Smith. I know people are probably going to go, what do you mean he's way more accomplished? Look at Matt Ryan's numbers, man. I mean, Matt Ryan's flirting right now with Hall of Fame numbers. I mean, you look at some of the consistent things he did, the most consecutive games with throwing over 200 yards or something like that, that was broken like what, in week 14 or something, whatever week it was. But Matt has been a really good quarterback as far as his numbers are concerned here. So he's going to get paid, no question about that.
And before anything else happens, the Falcons want to get – now, Matt has a contract through next season, but they want to extend him. And the whole point was to extend him so that they could kind of take his money and spread it out over 5 years. They want him to be the quarterback for the next 5 years, create some more cap room, allow them to, you know, make some better decisions in regards to or open up decisions in regards to some of the key free agents that the team has. You know, the Dontari Poes, Adrian Claiborne's, Upshaw's, Matt Bryant's of the world that the team has before they venture into the free agent market. So that was part of it. And now suddenly there's been a new bar set. And who knows if there's going to be a new bar set, as you mentioned, with Kirk Cousins going somewhere to Cleveland or to Denver. Or Denver doesn't have a whole lot of money. Or to the Jets or someplace. And resets the bar again for all these quarterbacks. And what does it mean for the two most notable quarterbacks who are up for their potentially for contracts? And that, of course, are...
Yes.
One. Well, Jimmy. What does it mean for Jimmy Garoppolo? Because he's a free agent. What does it mean for Drew Brees? Drew Brees is a free
Brees
agent.
Drew Brees is going to. Let me tell you, it's going to be right now. Just off the top of my head, the two highest paid quarterbacks this year will probably be Drew Brees and Matt Ryan. No question about that. And I would probably think that Drew Brees is whatever Matt gets. Everybody's going to wait to see who goes next. Because who goes next and whatever they get, that's going to up the ante for the next person. So the last person that signs is going to be the last one that gets the most bread because that's just how it is. that's how these things work. I can remember vividly when I got traded Willie McGinnis had just came off, I think it was his second Pro Bowl. He just had signed a contract. It was like 5 years, $25 million for the Patriots. And I remember my agent asked me, he's like, well, what do you want? I want what Willie McGinnis got. I remember saying that just like that. I want Willie McGinnis money. And that's what it was. That's what I wanted. And so that's how the NFL works. Whomever gets paid, he'll be the highest paid person at that position for about, what, 2 weeks, a day, maybe? Because when Alex Smith signs this deal and he gets this four-year, $94 million extension, the next guy that signs, when Kirk Cousins signs, he's going to blow that out the water.
Right.
He's going to blow that out the water. And then Matt's going to look at that, and Matt's not going to have to say it. His agent's going to say it. Are you kidding me? Look at what my client's done. Look at what my client has been for you. He needs to get blah, 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 blah. And when he gets his money, then Drew Brees is going to say, oh, my gosh, Matt got that, but look at what I've done, and I did it. And then he's going to get paid.
It's going to be fascinating to watch, right? I mean, it's going to be so much money out there with these quarterbacks. And now, again, Kirk Cousins is going to break the bank. Everybody's going to break the bank. What does it mean for your team and the flexibility that your team has? Not much. I mean, you're going to have to – the cap is going to go up some, but not a whole lot. Not to cover that nut.
It all depends on how you restructure Matt's deal. Like, you could give – say, for instance, like, Bo's our resident capologist, but – say if you sign Matt to a $200 million deal and you give him a $90 million signing bonus or something like that, $100 million signing bonus, and guarantee $120 or something like that, you guaranteed $120 million with that signing bonus or whatever, his first year salary could be, if you play him like $250,000, you could play it like that, and that helps out the cap. The second year could be $500,000. The third year could be $750,000. You can, like, it all depends on how many years you're signing for. It all depends. So there's ways you can get around that. It just all depends on how much signing bonus you're willing to give him and how much guaranteed money you're willing to give him up front.
All right. So you keep your eyes on that, because this could obviously be a gigantic story if, in fact, the Falcons want to get Matt Ryan's extension done. Prior to doing anything else, that's what we're waiting on now. Now we're waiting for the next shoe to fall, which will be free agency and Kirk Cousins. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens here. If you're Tom Condon and you're Matt Ryan's agent, you may be – if they were talking already, you may just put the brakes on that for now and wait for Kirk Cousins, which kind of puts you in a box a little bit if you're the Falcons, a little bit of a box. Only because if you don't know what it is when free agency starts, you may not be able to
– Kirk Cousins would be
signed. Other moves.
That's the one position, John, you don't want to fool around with and be waiting all to see if you get the better deal. Cousins to be signed before free agency starts, I would think.
That'd have to be a sign and trade, right?
He's done.
No, he's on a one-year deal. Look, Kirk Cousins, what will happen with Kirk Cousins is people will start negotiating with him in that legal tampering period.
Right.
And then he'll agree to a deal. So they'll have like 2 or 3 days in legal tampering, which will start probably, I think it starts like normally on a Friday, and I think the league year will start on a Tuesday, which is right. Like the 14th.
Yeah, the legal tampering starts March 12, and then the league year starts on March 14.
There you go. That's what will happen with him. So he'll have agreed to something during legal tampering. I get confused when I hear people say that they shouldn't give Matt Ryan an extension. Yes, we all hope the money is right for everyone. Hopefully it will make Matt happy. It'll make the organization give them some freedom to do other things and re-sign some of the guys that are going to be coming up on defense here soon. But it doesn't make any sense to me. Alex Smith is a guy who is turning into somewhat of a journeyman now, and he's still a top 15 quarterback, and he's about to get paid, what, $23 million a year average salary? And he's not the same caliber quarterback that you have here. We've seen what Matt's capable of. It makes perfect sense to re-sign him.
Well, they're going to re-sign him.
But the problem is I don't – it's when you risk quarterback play in this league, it is like going to Vegas and dropping your life savings on the little dice, the dice that roll around and saying, 23 black.
Yeah, but that's just – let's talk reality here. Falcons are re-signing Matt Ryan. They're going to get a 5-year extension. That's going to happen. And you can – if you're not happy about that, I don't know what to tell you. Meantime, there's another piece of news that we were talking about kind of teasing coming into this, and that is that Mercedes-Benz Stadium is making some tweaks. And Steve Cannon, who's the president of AMB and the CEO of the Falcons, was saying that what they're going to do here is they're going to add some more doors out by where the Falcon is to allow fans to get out quicker because they have problems in the exiting of fans. Now, there were also problems in entering Mercedes-Benz Stadium that I was aware of during the season, but those were due to extenuating circumstances. There were a couple of times this year, I think maybe once for the Falcons, once for United, where they had a serious issue, whatever reason, with the app for Ticketmaster, okay? And that slowed all the people that were using the Ticketmaster app from getting into the stadium. But that's not a facility issue. And the second problem of getting into the stadium was, of course, the president showing up for the national championship game and the Secret Service, you know, bogging everything down. But exiting became a problem when everybody's trying to leave at once. And they got bottlenecked, you know, and so they're going to add a couple more doors, a few more doors, to create a better flow of getting out of the building. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear you.
And that makes sense. I mean, people want to get mad at the stadium for that. But again, first year, you're going to have kinks.
And I think that they expressed and they stressed that, you know, they're learning as they go. This is a state-of-the-art building. I think that we heard that, like, during the construction a lot. We heard that during the process of them opening up the building and telling us that there are going to be things that they have to work out and be patient with them. I think they said that damn near every time we talked to them. Didn't they do that?
Well, yeah, and that's what someone that wants to run a successful business model does. The other thing to look at is it was something that they heard feedback from through polls and through, you know, I think the college football playoff championship game, whatever you want to call it, the national championship game, really brought some light to it. Now, granted, it wasn't really an issue that was caused by them, but it helped them realize it. I've only been to one event there that I wasn't working,
right,
and that was Garth Brooks. And it was packed, obviously. And I remember it being somewhat of a bottleneck in certain spots. Now, I know certain areas to go to because I've walked the stadium so many times. But I think this is just a brilliant move, mainly because so rarely does it work where, you know, there's a complaint and it's immediately taken care of. You know, normally these things have to pile up and then finally someone says, oh, well, I guess we better do something. They're not waiting. And they know that they don't have time to wait either because, no, what is next year? Super Bowl.
Right, Super Bowl.
Yeah, so that's
where
they're trying to work out all those kinks now. They got to get it done.
Yeah, there's a whole contingent of people in Atlanta. That's one of the other stories, too. There's a whole bunch of people from the city and the state that are up in Minnesota this week kind of going through the motions here to see how Minnesota is handling the Super Bowl, which kind of, you know, I mean, I kind of understand, but at the same time, I kind of don't. Because it's not like it's our first go-round here, and we've had a couple other Super Bowls in town. We had the national championship game. We know how to host big events. Part of me is just being a cynic, thinks that all these people that go up there for a free trip to the Super Bowl.
John, the Super Bowl hasn't been here since 1999, or 2000, and that was the Georgia the Georgia World Congress Center ran that. This is MBS. And I get
the MBS people. I get yes,
but and they want to do things right, and a lot's changed since 2000. So I don't know who wants to take a free trip to Minnesota in February.
Good point. All right, that's fair enough. One other quick note about the Falcons. NFL.com has come out with its mock draft, and the NFL.com now says Isaiah Wynn with the 26th pick to the Atlanta Falcons. Now I think this is interesting on a couple of fronts. One is Isaiah Wynn, the offensive guard from Georgia, who an NFL.com says, you know, he played tackle in college, moved inside during the Senior Bowl, really impressed people with his ability to adjust to the guard position, can be a swing tackle for you for the Atlanta Falcons, and how it makes a lot of sense. Which, Hugh, we've said this before. We've been saying this since last Saturday, and even since last week when we were hearing and seeing the video of Isaiah Wynn working out at the Senior Bowl, that it would be a great fit. But it kind of flies in the face, again, what Thomas Dimitroff said in terms of his desire to get a veteran to come in and play, that he is inclined to not draft offensive linemen because we see the issues of the learning curve of offensive linemen in the NFL. Could Isaiah Wynn could he be an exception to that rule? Maybe.
Yeah, maybe he's an exception because of his nasty. He got that. He seems like he's a bona fide player. So maybe that is the case. But the one thing that I've known and noticed about GMs when it comes around times to the draft, they'll always fake right and go left. So you never really know what they're going to do because they're not going to let that be known. They don't want anybody to steal their players.
All right, we talk about Minnesota being a neutral site game. Is it really a neutral site game? Because there are reports that it's not really going to be so neutral on Sunday.
I think it's sexy.
There is nothing sexy about this show.
What?
John Fricke and Hugh Douglas.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is Wednesday, hump day of Super Bowl week in the National Football League. John and Hugh on the morning show on Sports Radio 99 The Game. And there's no doubt that the Super Bowl has taken on a different identity with the Philadelphia Eagles. Suddenly, this whole underdog thing, number one seed in the NFC that matriculates to an underdog because of the injury to Carson Wentz, the rise of Nick Foles, there's dog masks, there's everything else. The team has, I have to give this is where I'll give the Philadelphia Eagles a lot of credit. Every other team that you see that lost its quarterback, Packers, Colts, whomever, Texans, they all kind of fell apart. The Eagles didn't fall, but they flourished.
Yeah, that's, the underdog thing is real in Philadelphia. I tried to explain that a few weeks ago. I mean, it's a city that's between New York and D.C., and it's always been that little brother complex. And, you know, Philadelphians thrive on that. That blue-collar mentality in Philadelphia is real.
Yeah, and it is kind of interesting in that regard because, as a city, it's the birthplace of America. I mean, it has its own certain status, you would think.
But. Yeah, it does, but it still is sometimes it's treated like it's a second-class citizen, and Philadelphians never forget that, and they wear that on their sleeve, and, you know, that's like almost like a badge of honor.
The Eagles, of course, are flying in as the underdogs, but their fans, they don't seem to care. You said that Eagles fans were going to be thick. Now, Super Bowl tickets immediately drop after the Vikings lose. The price drops because the home team's out. But they are roaring back, not unlike what happened at the national championship game here, where they came roaring back in terms of prices, primarily because, according to the reports, Eagles fans are flooding the market, and the Eagles fans are going to come in droves.
Yeah, they always do. I had some friends of mine that got tickets the other day. They sent me pictures of them, and they're ready to go now. They might not have a place to stay, but that doesn't matter because you'll have like four or five people, six, ten in one room, and that's how they're going to do it, man. But Eagle fans, Eagle faithful, man, they're going to be there. They're going to be in that stadium, and they're going to be rooting their team, no question about that.
Yeah, which I find interesting because if you've ever been to a Super Bowl, and I've been to four, for the most part, you have a
– name drop.
Well, no, I mean, but I'm just telling you the story so that you understand. My impression was, and the one I did not go to yours, Hugh, against New England because I was in Vegas watching the game. But I noticed that you had for example, the Bills Cowboys game at the Georgia Dome. There were probably 20,000 Bills fans and 20,000 Cowboy fans and 30 some odd thousand fans who couldn't have cared less. You know, the contest winners, they're corporate, they're just people who are at the game. They're not really fans necessarily of either team. Heck, I'm not even sure they're football fans. They're just at an event. So it has a different kind of feel. I have a sense that this isn't going to be the way it is in Minnesota. It's going to feel like an Eagles home game.
They're going to be deep. I mean, and there are going to be a lot of Patriots fans there because, like, watching in the opening of the Super Bowl, I saw a lot of Patriots fans that were there, whether or not they live in Minnesota or they came from New England. I don't know, but there were a lot of fans there. So it's going to be a huge representation of Eagle fans at the game.
And so it's going to be a big advantage because I think the Eagles fans, that you're going to be, you know, getting this Eagles home game clap kind of going on right now and the whole underdog thing. I think this is my sense. New England's been here so many times. They've been there and done that. They have this incredible advantage that nobody else has. It's sort of like Alabama in the title game. When you've been there and done that, you know, okay, we know the lay of the land. We know how to process all this. We know how to handle the 2 weeks. We have Tom Brady. We can just – so it's a business trip for them. The Eagles are going to have to ride on emotion, but that emotion is going to be large for them. They have ridden it all the way here, and there's no reason I think it's going to stop. I just don't. I think the Eagles are – writing that, you know, first off, let's start with the fact they're talented, you know. Their blogs are talking about, hey, what's the game plan to beating the Patriots? I think the game plan to beating the Patriots, go out there, hit Tom Brady as many times as you can, and just, you know, take over the kind of the emotional control of the game.
Yeah, I would agree with that, John. I think that a lot of people are forgetting that this team can play. They both got the same exact record, 15-3, in this playoff run. And the Eagles are a talented team, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So this is not like you're going against the Little Sisters of the Poor. I mean, they are a talented team, and it's not going to be as easy as a lot of people think it could be. I think the Eagles are going to pull this game out. I think they're going to pull it out. It's going to be a game where I'm not going to say it's a blowout, but they're going to win in deciding fashion. So, yeah, it's going to be a good game, though, this weekend.
Our Vision Computer poll of the day is about the X factor in the game. And if you go to our Twitter at 929thegame or if you go to our Facebook, our Vision Computer question is, who will be the X factor for winning the Super Bowl? And as Wendy noted in the poll, we can only put four options, so we are willing to hear you out. And if you have options beside this, your X factor is either Bill Belichick, again, because the hoodie's been here and done this, Tom Brady, Nick Foles of the Eagles, because of the fact that he's been the backup that's come in and done so well, and then Fletcher Cox, which I find intriguing. Now, I voted for Foles because I just think the quarterbacks have such an impact on the game. But that Fletcher Cox, what was it like 3 years ago, maybe two, 3 years ago, the Eagles were talking, there was a story about the Eagles trading Fletcher Cox, and he was on the market, and there was a whole bunch of dust-up as to whether or not they were going to do that, and we were asking at the time, it may have been before you and I were together as a team, and I was like, why in the world would you trade Fletcher Cox? And, he has really become the anchor of that defense. Yes, you have other great players. I'm not talking about Long and Graham and all those guys because they're great across it. But, boy, he really has become that guy, hasn't he, in terms of kind of the focal point and the rallying guy for that
defense.
I mean,
he's one hell of a D-tackle. I mean, when you look at the route to the quarterback and the guy who can greatly affect the quarterback, it's either the three technique or the nose man in that defense. Well, the nose man, excuse me. But he's the guy that he's the straw that stirs the drink for that defense. He's the one that helps them be the number four ranked defense in the NFL, and they're really, really good against the run because of what he's able to do in the middle.
Yeah, and so you shut down the run of the Patriots, make them one-dimensional. Of course, the thing is, you know what the Patriots are going to do. It's just a matter that they execute so well. And damn Danny Amendola. I mean, dude, but of course, we don't know yet. I guess we assume Gronk's playing, right? I mean, he has a clear concussion protocol, so. But I think we're all assuming it. Brady says his hand is better, says his hand is fine. I got a quote from him somewhere. Yeah, he said it's getting better. It's not quite where I want it to be, but I'll be okay by game time. So we assume Brady's going to be fine. He was fine in the AFC title game. He's going to be fine now. Gronk, I assume he's going to be, but he's practicing, so I guess we think he's going to be out there.
Yeah, that's the weird thing about Gronkowski. And I was reading some reporters talking about that last night, talking about how it's ridiculous how he's in the concussion protocol, but he's out there practicing. So that's kind of weird. They really haven't said whether or not he's going to play. But I would think that in a game like this, a game of this magnitude, he's got to play. You got to play. You cannot have Rob Gronkowski not out there and he's able-bodied. So I think that, yeah, he's going to play in this game.
One of the names that's not on our Vision Computer poll, and this is why, again, when we're talking about X factors, you have to weigh in and comment, and we'll certainly talk to you. We'll tweet back at you if you have somebody that's not on the list. And when you can only put four from both teams, you're going to have a lot of guys that are left off the list. But if there was a move this year by an NFL team that turned out to be the most beneficial in-season move that I can see of any team in the league, it was the Eagles getting Jay Ajayi from the Dolphins in the middle of the year. That turned out to be kind of a prescient move in terms of the, of course they couldn't have known at the time that Carson Wentz was going to get hurt. But we said at the time, look how much better that makes that suddenly they have a thunder and lightning running attack and what it does for them. And their ability to run the ball and eat clock and extend drives with Ajayi and Blunt to keep Brady off the field is going to be critical. And so Ajayi becomes such a great addition and a great move that they made in the middle of the season to them. Without him, I'm not sure they're here.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And it was another stat that I was reading, and I apologize if I get it wrong, but the Eagles, I think, in this playoff series have held most teams like eight points and under or something like that, average, something like that, they've been playing well. So they have that going for them, but, again, they haven't faced a guy like Tom Brady.
No, they haven't. There was a great question somebody asked this week that I saw on one of the websites. Is it more Brady or is it more Belichick? And I can't answer that question.
It was 8.5. I'm sorry. Thank you there, Bo. What'd you say now, John?
Is the Patriots, in this run, in this success that they've had, is it more been because of Brady or more been because of Belichick? I think it's a good question. Maybe it's just both together.
I think it's kind of hard to separate the two. They have what they call a symbiotic relationship, because you look at what Belichick did before Tom Brady, and then you look at Tom Brady before he became a professional. Tom Brady was like a six-round draft pick?
Yes.
And he was not athletic at all. He didn't live off his athleticism. I think that they worked well together. I think that Tom took direction well, and now he's become who he is, and now he can just take over. Tom is a hell of a player, smart guy, and I think that they just work well together, because all of this stuff that they have going on around them, they're still able to be in this game. With all the stuff you say, the dissension in the ranks and everything, they still able to hold it together and be in this game. That's pretty big.
Well, you never know. Father Time is, as you say, undefeated, so maybe this is the last time we see Tom. Maybe. Hard to say. I mean, you never quite know, but maybe this is the last go-round for Tom in a big game like this, being the Super Bowl. And then again, maybe not. Maybe they're right back again next year. A lot to hear this morning with the morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
Now hear this. Hey, did you hear this?
Morning show on Sports Radio 99 The Game. We have a Vision Computer poll going on. It revolves around the Super Bowl this morning. I'm back at the Kia Studios, and the poll is about the X Factor in the game.
So whether you think the Patriots are going to win or the Eagles are going to win, who will be the X Factor Eagles for the winner of the Super Bowl?
Let her finish, Hugh Douglas.
I'm not sure yet, Hugh, on
Eagles
that.
Eagles going to win.
I love your confidence, though. Is it going to be Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, Nick Foles, Fletcher Cox? Of course, on Twitter, you only get four options, so please, write-ins are welcome. And right now, 35% say Tom Brady. It's followed by, if the Eagles were to win, 26% say it would be on Nick Foles.
Somebody wrote in and said the refs. I went, touche.
Someone said Justin Timberlake. Touche. So I'm not mad at them.
Mm-hmm. Hey, did you hear this about, there was an interesting thing that happened on Twitter yesterday, because there was an Instagram, I believe, post or a Twitter post of Floyd Mayweather in the gym. Now, it wasn't just Floyd in the gym. It was Floyd, Hugh, in the gym, walking into an octagon. And Conor McGregor couldn't resist replying towards Floyd. Conor sent out a tweet saying, "Haha, very good. Keep up the good work, my son. Yours sincerely, Senior." Well, Floyd's very good at getting people to talk. I don't know if this is code a little bit. Would he actually consider getting into the octagon with Conor McGregor? But I tell you what, he got everybody buzzing. Whether or not it's true, he got everybody buzzing.
I don't know if people, like, listen. Boxing is a unique skill. There's no question about that. But MMA fighting, that's everything. You know, I don't know. I wouldn't do that. Not if you're not built for that.
You don't want that MMA smoke.
No, you don't want.
You don't want
no,
it.
You don't
at
want
all.
That. You don't want that. Them cats. Nope. Like what did Conor say? I use elbows and I shatter bones. Yeah, nah, you don't probably want that. You don't want that.
It would be awesome to see, though.
Can you?
No, it would not.
Yes, it would.
It would be a very intriguing. That's not awesome. In an MMA style match, a UFC style match, absolutely would I love.
Why would
to
that
see?
Be awesome? I mean, that's like a lamb to slaughter.
It would just be cool to see Floyd Mayweather in his, a different element.
No, I'm calling time out here. The whole lamb to slaughter thing. And I understand why that would be the initial reaction. But, Hugh, that was the initial reaction of a lot of people when they talked about a fight, that you were leading a lamb to slaughter with Conor McGregor. He held up better, didn't he?
John, that's just like me trying to go MMA fight. That would not be a good look. Not if you're not conditioned for that or trained for that. That's a whole different animal. You're talking about – that's basically a brawl. That's a street
that's
fight.
That's exactly what it is.
That's a brawl. There's no rules into that, really. I don't think Floyd Mayweather would do himself any favors at what, 41 years old?
No, you don't
getting
do
into
that.
The ring with a younger guy. That's a butt whooping all day.
But would you watch?
Slaughter?
No, I would
you
not.
Y'all wouldn't turn on the TV just to watch.
No.
I wouldn't
now,
watch
it's
that
one
at
thing,
all.
It's one thing for Conor McGregor to have all that bravado and step into Floyd's world. We talking about a whole different animal. We talking about a 41-year-old man going out there with no shoes on and having to fight with his whole entire body like MMA fighter. No, that's a different animal. That's a different type of training. That nah, I don't think he would be. He would not be putting himself in a great spot to
but
do
how,
that.
I know that Floyd doesn't want money, but how much money would that generate?
A ton of money, but not like Floyd needs it. But if Conor McGregor could challenge Floyd, I think it's awesome that McGregor in his world.
We already know how this is going to play out.
Floyd's not going to get the payday he thinks he is from the UFC. That's the UFC's arena, okay? Floyd can't dominate how the pay scale goes there. It's because it's going to be a different animal.
And then not only that, what does Floyd, at this point, seriously, what does Floyd Mayweather have to prove?
Oh, nothing.
He's got nothing to prove. He's never fought MMA style.
So why would he?
Why not?
I've never fought MMA, but I'm not going to go in and get in the ring with anybody. That'd be foolish on my part. I mean, seriously.
It's never too late to be what you want to be.
No, it's too late for me. That ship has sailed. And at 41 years old, I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there for Floyd. I can't speak for him, but I'm going to speak for him in this case. That ship has sailed. You better sit your old butt down somewhere and let them young kids do what they do.
Do it, Floyd.
I wonder if there's a boxer out there who could do MMA. You know, could a guy like Triple G, I mean, given his, he's just kind of that guy. Could he step into the octagon if he worked at it? And could we see, are we ever going to see another moment where we have somebody come out of the, octagon and into the boxing ring and become, you know, are we going to have another Floyd Connor crossover? Was that just a one-off?
Who do you think you would see, John, that you want to see? Because you're throwing it out there. And
I don't know. That's what
question.
I'm thinking.
Who would you want to see?
You know, that's why I was asking. Maybe a guy like Triple G.
Who has the bravado and who has the polarizing personality that Floyd Mayweather had that people would actually want to see them get their stuff pushed in?
No one.
You got to remember.
Because that's what we're talking about. The reason why this works so well is because of Floyd Mayweather's braggadocious demeanor and the fact that a lot of people wanted to see him get his stuff pushed in because of some of the stuff that happened to him in the past, some of the alleged allegations against him against women and all the other stuff, and the fact that when him and Ronda Rousey got into it, and the fact that Conor McGregor was putting MMA, not putting him on the map, but he at the time, he was the most braggadocious guy in MMA and the most flashy. He came in with a different shtick, if you will.
The problem with a boxer crossing over is if they've never wrestled or had any kind of jiu-jitsu, kickboxing, any kind of karate style, you're going to take years to learn that. Triple G, yeah, people say Triple G. Triple G's older than people think, and he's actually now at the pinnacle of his career as far as monetary gains in fights. He's about to fight another fight
with Canelo,
which is going to be May 5th, and the money that's coming into that, and it's not worth it to take a pay cut to train for 2 years to possibly get
maybe it's just a one-off what happened and a freaky thing, but in a way it's kind of too bad because it was such an event. It was such a great event. Those two, they're forever etched in stone together in a way because of that event. And so I just was wondering if there was any way to, cross over again. There may not be. It may be just a one-off. But I'll give Floyd credit. You got everybody talking by posting a 10-second video of him stepping into an octagon.
It's easier to cross over from a UFC fighter to go to boxing than it is for a fighter who is a boxer to cross over to UFC, because there's so much more you have to learn in the UFC game, and there's so many more ways you can lose a fight.
I would watch.
I would watch too, but it's not probably going to happen. But tell you what is also going to happen. Two big injuries rocked the NBA yesterday. And what does it mean for the Eastern Conference playoffs as two teams lose key players for 2 months? That's in the headlines as we continue with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.